Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double S, anytime, man.
Christopher Mandog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
So Justin Jefferson went on Colin Cowherd's show last week, and he was asked to compare Joe Burrow and Kirk Cousins. Well, with the Vikings schedule coming out, he's going to get to do that right from the jump on week one as we welcome you into the Strom Sports Show, brought to you by BetterEdge, the social betting exchange, giving back to the bettors. Episode 146 here on the great TalkNorth.com. Great to have you in. We've got a lot to get into. Bob Nightingale of USA Today, he will join us in just a few minutes. We'll talk a little bit of baseball, sprinkle in a little bit of Twins, unfortunately. We'll also do just all things baseball right now. Baseball's in a good place. We've got a bunch of no-hitters. Is it good or bad for the league? So we'll get to Bob in just a few minutes here. Again, a lot to get into as we welcome you in on a beautiful Friday. This, what is it, the 14th day of May already? We're like three-quarters of the way through 2021. It's great to see things changing, as even today, the Twins came out and said that by July, we are going to have 100% capacity at Target Field. So stuff is getting back to normal, people, and it's great to see. So we'll begin here with a hit on the Gopher football team on WCCO, which debuted, I think it was Tuesday night. I know it's a little bit late, but I did want to give you my thoughts a couple of days out. So WCCO comes out with a story on PJ Fleck, and one of the main professors or ex-professors at the University of Minnesota, Jason Stahl, is the guy who led the charge. He came on here, and if you didn't see this, he came on, interviewed, and said, well, I'm a history teacher. I've seen multiple kids come in here. They don't look mentally, physically okay. They complain about the Gopher football program and yada, yada, yada. So you're listening to all this, and he's talking about, you know, how these players look unstable and they've complained about the coaching, and then the players come on and they're talking about, well, we shouldn't be hitting in spring. And I think for the non-football fan, this can be scary because you can fall into the trap of feeling sorry for this professor or feeling sorry for these players. It's unfortunate what happens in sports, not just football. There's injuries that take place. Now, luckily for one of the players, he avoided having major, major damage to his spine just by getting hit in one different direction. Now, that is just life. Like, that is, I can go outside and I can drive a car and I have no control. Like, there are certain things that you cannot control in this life. So for the people that aren't particularly football guys, you know, I see where they would sort of jump the gun and say, oh, well, PJ Fleck's got to go. Here's the bottom line. And I'll talk to you about the two things that I actually took away and agreed with. Number one is that mental health needs to be a priority. 100%, right? 100%. The way they were portraying this was PJ Fleck doesn't care about mental and physical health. That is not true. The second thing that I agree with, but it wasn't particularly molded well, was that the NCAA needs a Players Association. I'm sorry, Jason Stahl. If the NCAA actually decides to come up with an NCAA Players Association, you are not going to be the guy. I don't know why you're advocating for it. You don't really know what goes on behind the scenes. You're sort of just someone that is seeing something from a very broad stance. And all of this is subjective. But those are the two things I actually agreed with. This is where people need, this is what people need to hear. And this is just honesty hour. If you think that every program doesn't have contact practices, go down to Alabama. Go talk to Nick Saban. Go talk to Coach O at LSU. If I were those two guys and I watched this hit on the Gopher football team, I would be running for the hills. Please don't interview me. If you think that PJ Fleck runs a crazy practice when it comes to hitting, go down to the SEC and go watch those practices. There is legit evidence from PJ Fleck's five-year tenure here that medical retirees, and that's what we're talking about here, medical retirees are basically guys that get hurt X amount of times, or they get hurt once and they're done and they can't do it. Under PJ Fleck, the average amount of medical retirees is 1.5. 1.5 medical retirees. There shouldn't be any. I agree with that. But it is at 1.5. Do you know under the previous regime of Tim Brewster and Jerry Kill what they were averaging? per season, 1.66. So theoretically speaking, PJ Fleck is under that number of Tim Brewster and Jerry Kill. Furthermore, we saw that Alex Riegelsman, or I don't know his last name, and I certainly don't know how to pronounce it. He was one of the main players coming out and saying that Coach Fleck, ever since I took my absence from the team, I have not heard from. Newsflash, I transferred when I was a freshman. I haven't heard anything from my old coach. I play Division III basketball. I haven't heard one thing from my old coach since I transferred. That's what happens. Like, that is what happens. If you're not a four-year guy, you transfer, you're not getting talked to. Do people know about the transfer portal? How important that is now. The transfer portal is everything for these players. If you don't play your freshman year, you're leaving. That has been established. Look at Ben Johnson's team. He's got one guy returning. The 2018 class is gone. Yes, because the transfer portal is an actual important thing now in college football, in college basketball, and in college sports in general. And then Riegelsman, who is the one complaining about this, there's a quote in the Minnesota Daily talking about when he was in the hospital, how his coaches were reaching out four times a week. How do you come on with the camera in front of you and say that? You legitimately stepped up and said that, well, I didn't hear anything from Coach Fleck. There's a story about you saying that you've heard from your coaches four times. You don't think any other culture would have that in a program. It just is so hypocritical to me. And there is not one person, I think, that I know on Twitter or anyone that I've spoken to that actually is like, yeah, PJ Fleck's got to go. Yeah, things need to change. Look, man, football is not for everyone. It wasn't for me. It probably wasn't for you. There are certain people that are meant for football, and there are certain people that are not. It is a militaristic sort of sport. It's got discipline. It's got guts. It's got hitting. It's got violence. That's just the way it goes. And for some people, it's not meant for everyone. But for me to sit here and think that PJ Fleck is any different than any other college football coach, or he's doing things differently, as if PJ Fleck's lining up Oklahoma drills the entire practice in the spring. I mean, it's ludicrous, and I'm not going to sit here and accept it. I mean, there's got to be a line drawn here, guys. Like, you know, I'm also hearing, well, every time PJ Fleck asked you how you were doing, you had to say you were elite. Guys, this is just a mental thing. Like, if I get up in the morning and I say I'm going to have a crappy day without nothing even happening, I'm going to have a crappy day. It's the number one thing people say. If you have something bad that happens to you in your day, try not to focus about it, try to talk about it, and move forward. Saying that you are elite today is a mentality. It's not an actual, like, you're taking this way too serious. Like, oh, you have to say that I'm feeling elite. Every day you feel something different, obviously. You don't have to have the perfect day every day. But the whole point of the elite mentality is that you are going to form and mold yourself into a positive person. And PJ Fleck not only talks the talk, but he walks the walk. And I think that's what players love about him. So I was upset because Coyle and Fleck weren't able to speak on this. They denied going on this story. But the U got their chance to share their story by not appearing on WCCO. The way they got to tell their story, that was told by the players that took on to Twitter. Tanner Morgan: I love Coach Fleck and our coaches so much. Truly have our best interest at heart for all areas of our life. Love our culture. Thankful to be a part of this program and the RTB culture. Row the boat. That's from your quarterback, Tanner Morgan. From Sori Marin: quote, love this team. Love this culture. Coach Fleck and staff treat every player as their own. I rest my case. Justin Jefferson went on Colin Cowherd's show, The Herd, and Colin just has a way of trying to get to, and he is great. He's a phenomenal sports radio host. He asked this question to Justin Jefferson that made all Vikings fans cringe.
So now you have had Joe Burrow and you have had Kirk Cousins, and take your time here. now, compare them. Where are they similar? Where are they not similar?
Similar, Kirk and Joe throw similar balls. They're not the strongest arm, but they're going to get it to you exactly where you need it. You need them to throw it. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about Joe that's a little bit different, Joe I feel like Joe had that a little bit more swagger, you know. he has that confidence on the field. And, I mean, he's not scared to get hit. And I feel like as a quarterback, that's a big trait to have, especially to be as young as he is. And, you know, he's a phenomenal quarterback.
Credit to Fox Sports on that sound from Colin Cowherd's The Herd. Nightmare situation for Vikings PR, nightmare situation for the Vikings organization in general, nightmare situation for Kirk Cousins. How many more verbal shots can Cousins continue to take? Adam Thielen a couple of years ago, quote, he needs to take more deep ball shots. Everson Griffin going on to Twitter last summer, going on his spiel about Cousins. I can't say the things that he said. Stephon Diggs, there was rumors about him not getting along, and now Justin Jefferson. How many more verbal shots can Kirk Cousins, the leader of this team, the most paid man on this team, that, you know, what comes with great salary and payment and money is should be respect. I think people have the opposite feeling about Cousins. It's like, wait, why is he getting paid this much and I'm not? So even though with Justin Jefferson, I don't think anyone denies that Joe Burrow has a certain swag, Kirk Cousins doesn't really have that. I don't think anyone's denying that Joe Burrow probably will take a hit a little bit better than Kirk Cousins. But there are certain things that can't be said. There are certain things that you can't get in front of when you are taught from a media standpoint. You can't say those types of things. But I think because Kirk Cousins is this nice, go happy guy, people think they can walk all over him. Now, it hasn't been shown, I guess, or proven that he really gets bothered by it. He's going to go and take the high road if he's asked about it. But how many more verbal shots can Kirk Cousins take before he sort of bursts out and says, man, the hell with you guys. The hell with you guys. How many more? And this does not help that Kellen Mond is in the building and working out. Kellen Mond was working out with Justin Jefferson in Miami before the draft. It does not help that you have a quarterback that can run, that can do all the things that you can't, which I love Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Kellen Mond. No one's denying that. But Kellen Mond is sort of the prototype of running and RPO, those types of things, where Kirk Cousins is not. And the funniest thing about this, how about the Vikings schedule that just came out? And who they open up against? Joe Burrow. It's funny how those things work. Justin Jefferson goes on there. He gives an honest answer, which he shouldn't have done. And you can see him sort of, I'm a communication major, so we're taught these things. When people get really uncomfortable, they think they're going to say an uncomfortable thing. They start to kind of move their shoulders when they're talking, and they're like, I don't know. That's exactly what Jefferson did. He goes, well, the thing about Burrow is that he'll take a hit and, you know, Cousins is, I don't, you know, like you could totally see that he shouldn't have said it, but he still said it. And that's what great sports radio hosts do. So credit to Colin Cowherd for getting that. And it hasn't made major news, but it would not surprise me moving forward if we saw a little bit of a question thrown at Cousins about this specific situation. Bob Nightingale will join me in just a second, but let me first tell you about BetterEdge. Combine your love for competition, social, and sports with BetterEdge, the sports betting exchange that actually gives back to its bettors. BetterEdge is a brand new locally based betting platform meant to connect users in an attempt to add some coin to the bank. Completely legal and 100% fun. Compete against friends, sports insiders, and yourself with BetterEdge in a number of different sports and event competitions. Use the promo code STROM, STROM. For a free $10 when you sign up by visiting BetterEdge.com. That's BETTOREdge.com. Make sure to go on there. We got NHL playoffs. We got NBA playoffs. Again, it's no VIG, so whatever you make, you keep. It's not like the other sites that will take some of your percentage of your winnings. BetterEdge is the absolute best, and it's the only gambling site that I put my money towards. It's the only gambling site that I feel comfortable with. I love the guys over there. Make sure to check them out, betteredge.com. Use the promo code STROM. Here is Bob Nightingale. All right, Bob Nightingale is with us now, USA Today, Major League Baseball columnist. Also will be on MLB Network as an insider as well and a reoccurring guest here on the STROM Sports Show. Bob, it's great to have you on today. Thank you for carving out some time for me. How is everything going?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, David.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. We'll start on a positive note because I just I feel like, and you're on the West Coast, so you must really feel it with the Dodgers and Padres, but I feel like, you know, the ratings are up, the rivalries are being created out in the West between LA and the Padres, and you got the Yankees and the Red Sox at top of the AL East. I feel like baseball is in a really good place right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it will be once they get to 100% capacity and, you know, teams can start selling tickets and, you know, make some money, that sort of thing. So, you know, we're still having, you know, some COVID issues. You know, the, you know, San Diego Padres, you're losing 5 players. The Yankees losing 7 staff members. So, you know, it's they're not out of the woods yet.
They're not out of the woods yet. And today, actually, the Minnesota Twins announced that they're going to start to really up the capacity. By July, they're looking to have 100% fans as well. So obviously it's different with each state, but Minnesota was one of the slower ones to sort of start opening up the city. I'm excited to see that. It's got to be a good sign that they're going to start to get fans back in the stadium.
Yeah, it is. And we'll see how it affects whether fans, you know, all come racing back or if fans are still a little gun shy as far as, you know, come to games, you know, because even if you reduce capacity, you know, there hasn't been that many sellouts. So I think people are still a little, you know, leery what's going on.
Sure, sure. All right, let's not beat around a bush, Bob. I mean, the Twins have completely shocked us Minnesotans on the start here. They're 12-22. They're really starting to bury themselves into a deep grave. What has been your reaction to this start?
Well, very surprised. I mean, you know, they're probably the most disappointing team in baseball. You know, the team's won the division, what, 3 straight years, and you know, built to, you know, win it all or win the division again, at least compete with the White Sox in Cleveland, and just, you know, just a dreadful start. You know, I don't think, you know, it's still so early. You know, they're not out of it by any means. But, you know, and when you're 9 games out by mid-May, it just shows you what an awful start it's been. You know, a little bit of everything. You know, it's the pitching. The pitching's probably been more troublesome than anything else.
Bullpen's been brutal, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've blown games. You know, they're not getting a long starts that they hope for. Yeah, just one thing after another.
The good sign, though, is, and even though he's out right now, is Byron Buxton has been phenomenal here about a month and a half into the season. It just stinks. Again, it goes back to, can he stay healthy? Your best, what is the saying that Bud Grant used to say? Your best available, whatever it was, about being available. Your best trade is being available. And for Byron Buxton, he has just not been able to stay healthy. But at least, you know, you're seeing what this guy can do. We knew about his feeling. We knew about his athleticism. We knew about his base running. But when this guy is able to hit, he completely changes this Twins team.
Yeah, no, he's a certainly a difference maker and, so talented. But you're absolutely right, Steven. He's got to stay on the field. Doesn't, you know, I don't care how talented you are. If you're not out there, you're not helping. So yeah, very, very frustrating for the Twins to see him, you know, get off the start he did and then go back on the injury list. And, you know, and we don't even know when he's supposed to come back yet.
So baseball has had now 4 no hitters through about a month and a half of baseball. I guess my question for you is this almost an event where we might start to treat no hitters as a run of the mill kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, but if it continues at this pace, you know, maybe it'll get some people get excited about a perfect game.
Right.
And not a no-hitter. But, yeah, hopefully that slows down. Because, yeah, it's just becoming, you know, it's almost like an everyday occurrence. I mean, we had, 2 no-hitters within 3 or 4 days last week. So, yeah, and that, you know, that's tough. I mean, it shows how bad the I know the pitching is so much better, but it shows how bad the hitting is too. You know, particularly the strikeouts. You know, when you had over 1,000 more strikeouts than hits in the month of April, something's wrong.
What do you think that is? Because that has been a trend that has continued to rise here, the strikeouts. Is it just that the pitchers are that much better than the players, or are the players not, you know, mechanically? What do you think this is on why the strikeouts continue to rise in baseball and the hitters continue to struggle?
Yeah, I just think the, you know, the pitchers are trying to amp up more and, you know, gearing up on velocity, and the hitters are, you know, being taught this launch angle was like home run or nothing. And so, you know, that's, you know, in baseball, it's home run, strikeout, or walk. You know, that's not good. And, you know, you need teams to move the ball around, you know, bunt, you know, run, things like that. You know, to make, you know, make things work or make, you know, make your team successful. So, yeah, it just getting worse and worse.
I want to touch up on the Oakland A's in just a sec here, but I just want to ask you an overall question about baseball. Again, you're out on the West Coast, so you're really starting to feel the Mookie Betts and the Machado, those guys' impact. If you had to pick one player to be the face of baseball that really is going to elevate this sport, and I think have that impact on the younger audience to bring in, because that's always been baseball's struggle. You ask, I'm 23, you ask someone between the age of 18 and 23 what their favorite sports are, they're probably going to say the NBA and the NFL. But I'm telling you, this year it has changed. I've seen a shift. Baseball is becoming exciting. I think it's because of the personality. I think it's because of the way we're marketing stars a little bit differently. But if you had to pick one player that you think can satisfy all audiences, who can that player be?
Well, I think certainly, you know, Fernando Tatis has got a chance to be that guy. Same sort of thing. He needs to stay healthy and be on the field. Juan Soto of Washington Nationals, Acuna of Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, those three guys probably jump out the most to me as far as, you know, getting the young audience in and, you know, showing emotion, things like that. You know, and baseball's got to figure out, you know, what it wants. You know, when you have a Barry Garrett, you know, strike out, you know, the Cubs hitter, then, you know, Rizzo, and then pounding his chest and screaming, thinking for seven games about that. It's like, well, you can suspend a guy then for about, you know, flipping the bat.
Right.
They're trying to figure out what's acceptable and what's not.
So this doesn't really come to surprise, I think, to anyone. The Oakland A's are looking to relocate, and this isn't something that just came out of the woods. This is something that we sort of felt being at the Coliseum and just sort of the way Oakland has been the last, I don't know how many years. Do you think there's any substance behind this, topic that came up a couple of days ago that you would make believe that this time is any different than the other times?
No, I don't. I mean, the Blue Ribbon Committee is studying this for 15 years for Major League Baseball. It's just, you know, it's very similar to a couple of years ago when baseball told Tampa, hey, go ahead and look if you want to move your franchise to Montreal or split it with between Tampa and Montreal. It's just trying to put some pressure on the, the local authorities there, the local government, and seeing what can be done. You know, baseball wants to expand. They want to go to 32 teams, but they really can't as long as you have the problems in Tampa and Oakland, because they need places to go. So they would take up, you know, two more spots of potential expansion sites if they do move.
We're here with Bob Nightingale of USA Today. So, Bob, I saw on your Twitter that you at least went to one game in L.A. for their World Series trophy presentation. Have you been to any other of the ballparks? What has your experience been like? Like, how are you covering baseball differently? I guess because last year, obviously, you were inside and at your house. But what is different about this year?
Yeah, I mean, last year I got a little bit to Chicago and both Chicago ballparks and Houston and, of course, the playoffs. This year I've been about four or five places. The only place that's different is Yankee Stadium, where you have to show proof of that you've been vaccinated.
Right.
Proof that you're negative in the last, 48 or 72 hours. That one was by far the most strict. I've been at, you know, Dodger Stadium, you know, Petco and San Diego, Chase Field, and Coors Field. But that one stood out the most as far as being that strict.
That's good. That's good. You're able to. I didn't know, honestly, you were able to get to ballparks last year. I thought it was just extremely strict, but I guess certain media gets that privilege. So the last question I have for you, I was talking to you a little bit before this about the CBA. And I think for people that don't know, like, yeah, sure, the baseball season has got off to a good start. Ratings are up, all this kind of stuff. But there's a new collective bargaining agreement that is going to expire in December. Has there been any talks about this? Like, this is certainly something to keep an eye out on. I mean, even before this season, you did a great job reporting. We went back and forth a couple of times, and I was asking you, is this season going to start on time? You were talking about how the owners wanted to delay the season. Ultimately, the players had that decision to say, no, we want to play. It ended up paying off, I think, right now. But what does that mean going forward here? When December comes, they got to get a new CBA.
Yeah, they could push the deadline back a few months if they wanted to. I mean, if they really wanted to push it back a year, I don't see that happening. But they could push it back a few months. Nothing's going to get, really start to get resolved or, hammered out different points until September or October. You know, so far they met once. It was just a slideshow presentation. So it wasn't even, really negotiations. So, they got to talk about the economics of the game, the young players, Competitive balance is a big issue with the players wanting more teams that are trying to win rather than rebuild. So, you know, a lot of elements are out there. You know, I know people are predicting doomsday. They're going to have a work stoppage, you know, but, you know, we'll have a full season this year anyway. You know, is it possible? It could be, you know, baseball, nothing happens for a month or so during the off season. It could, but I think both sides realize they, neither side can afford a work stoppage that'll affect the 2022 season. I just think it would be, you know, suicide on both parts.
Right. So, you know, last year with just the hostility and how they were going at it, do you think that there's almost this feeling of, okay, we need to sort of put things aside. We need to get this thing done. Or do you think there's still going to be, or is there still of that hostility between these two?
Well, there's still that hostility. I mean, you know, you look at this season, I mean, they couldn't even agree on the, whether have a universal DH or not, you know, couldn't agree on expanded postseason. So, yeah, that those hostilities still exist, but they also realize, you know, what's at stake. And, you know, if there's some kind of work stoppage, even if it was like a month that affected, you know, next season, I think the fans would be so turned off, you know, they may stay away from the game forever.
Mm. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. I can't thank you enough for coming on and giving me time. You're the best. Make sure to check him out again on USA Today. He's also an MLB radio insider, MLB network insider as well, at B Nightingale on Twitter. Bob, thanks again. Have a fantastic rest of your weekend and we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, David.
Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks Bob Nightingale for coming on the podcast. Thanks Brandon Morton, per usual, the best producer in America. TalkNorth.com. Make sure to check out all of the other sites. Again, the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by BetterEdge, the social betting exchange, giving back to the bettors. Have a fantastic rest of your weekend. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at @SSTROM_. DM me, tweet me. I'm always ready to chat Minnesota sports. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next Friday here on TalkNorth.com.